Excellent. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a great day in Cincinnati, and I appreciate so many of you traveling so far to come check out Ohio and do this tour. So I'm Wolf. Our firm is Atlas Venture Partners. We have early stage venture funds supporting underrepresented communities and underrepresented and overlooked founders. The one which we're extremely excited about right now is the Pride Fund, as well as the Ohio Impact Fund. The Pride Fund was our first fund, specifically serving the LGBTQ plus community. And our newest fund is the Ohio Impact Fund, which specifically serves impact-driven businesses throughout the state of Ohio. And so I want to thank all of our friends in Cincinnati for being such great hosts and bringing us down here almost on a weekly basis now, as we're trying to figure out how to connect all the dots and help our investors have their money do really well while it's doing really good. Thank you so much.
My name is Zachary Kane. I just graduated from Xavier University, and I'm a part of Ripple, and I will give Joe the honor of talking about.
Awesome. So my name's Joe. I'm the founder of Ripple. About 14 months ago in my dorm room, a little 10 by 10 room, I decided I wanted to spend all my money on these reusable water bottles, which I think Zach has one right here. And the thought was, I laid in my bed thinking of problems to solve, and growing up, my mom always told me, you gotta drink your water before getting up from the dinner table. And so I was like, because there's other people on the other side of the world that don't have clean water. So I was like, how can I solve this? And initially, my mind goes, nonprofit. But you can only, I don't like asking people for money. So I wanted to create this.
Get over that.
I know. I've been bootstrapping all of it out of the dorm room with Zach and our team. Ann Mooney, right there, she's trying to get me to dabble into the angel world and all that. We'll figure it out. But but in just over a year, we gave over 50,000 people clean water so far, and we're looking to do a lot more.
Good stuff.
Intro.
Intro, John Bellamini. I run a company called the Peak Alliance, and we're focused on helping individuals increase their income by giving them access to the best education, healthcare, and finance. It's a for-profit platform. Imagine having a Bloomberg terminal in your pocket focused on one KPI, increase your income, going from 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80. How do you go from driving a car to becoming a teacher to becoming a journeyman mechanic? How do you change your life? It's not just about the job. It's about the micro skills that go around it, plus the health, plus the finance, and that's what we do, and grateful to be here and surrounded by such awesome people. Look forward to learning from you.
I've been asking this question about what scares and excites you. Let me pull the mic back to Wolf. As you all have a mission, right? And you sell this topsy-turvy world, which we need your impact on. But what scares and excites you as you try to fulfill your mission? It's an investment mission, but because you're trying to make money, it's not a philanthropy per se, as you say. But just, if you could hit that question,
I'll start with what excites me. This last panel, everyone we've heard from today, as well as these founders, that's why I do this. Everything we do and everything that our investors do with us is based on supporting amazing entrepreneurs and their visions. So our role ends up being not only finding companies that are phenomenal and that we believe are going to be successful, but also doing everything we possibly can to help them succeed. So whether that's introductions to their first client, or if that's connecting them with future investors who could do our follow-on funding, it's all about the entrepreneurs, and their success becomes our success, becomes our investors' success. What scares me is that we're at a point in time where some things are unpredictable. And we've got a lot of people who are putting trust into us. And that is from both the investor side, but also from the startup side. We want to be the partners on both sides. And when we see some of the hardships that some of our companies go through, and we're trying to work with them so that they can keep it up, so we can support their dreams, We've seen a lot of challenges lately, and that's become an even greater opportunity for us to work harder on their behalf.
I think if we were to talk about what scares us, I think it's pretty true for all of us that you turn on the news, you go to Google News, you're going to see things about war, you're going to see an economy that's in distress. you're going to see a lot of scary, painful things. And it's really, really easy to get overwhelmed. And I think I was for a long time. But once you get into worlds like this, once you put yourself around people who want to dream, you will see that there are smart people, dedicated people, hardworking people with knowledge and skills and resources who can go out and can make a difference. And that's all this room is. That's all this whole weekend is. And there's a lot of hope left. My favorite quote is, "A rising tide lifts all boats." And I think my purpose, and I think what most of our purposes is to be that tide, to help lift up those around us, because that will lead to impact. That will lead to changed lives. That's what we're here for.
Joe, your team only gets one speaking point in round.
Like, actually?
Two things that scare
me.
You
choose next time.
I'm going to take 2 points then. I hear a lot of talk around Web3 and tech, and I don't hear a lot of talk about humans, because this is the best technology in the world. And we've got to think about that. And I also am scared that I'm up here on a panel, and it's all guys. So I'd like to fix that.
All white guys, too.
All white guys. And so, you know, just what I mean, I see a bunch of people in here that are super talented that should be up here. So I'd like to yield the rest of my time to anybody else who wants to come up.
Elizabeth Darpa, please come up on stage right now.
She's coming up.
Yeah, she is working on something that's out of this world with providing free menstrual products, and it needs to be talked about more. So please.
Yeah, come on up.
Come up.
Also, our Uber driver today, we connected with her and we told her what we're doing. Now you're probably going to be on. You're a blend of both panels.
Oh, okay.
But just because I knew you got a nonprofit. Just quickly tell your story.
My name's Lauren Goodwin, and I'm actually a P&G alumni. My parents both worked there, and I was there for 17 years, partially as a contractor, and then 9 years as a permanent employee, and then I went back as a contractor. I met Mr. Jack Wyant at our alumni Christmas party before, and he actually remembers me. I'm just so proud.
There was a fight between him and Peg, right? Wasn't it something?
Yeah,
that's what he remembers.
Bit, yeah. So I was fortunate enough to inherit my grandmother's house, and it's in South Cumminsville. If anyone knows where that is, it's an underserved, underrepresented part of Cincinnati. I've decided to turn that house into a shared living house. And I actually just turned in the paperwork for my first tenant, who is a veteran who has come upon hard times. She's disabled, and she's going to rent a room. And I have one more bedroom that's available, and I think Talbert House is going to send another veteran to me to share that home with her.
But there's a theme to the house, right?
Well, there's a theme to it. You have to be sober. This house is going to be for women. And I'm particularly targeting women who have been in the military, who've served in the military. I'm married to a veteran, and I know firsthand that veterans have been through a lot. It may not show initially. They might not want to talk about it, but a lot of veterans do need services. And I feel that it's my mission to provide those services for them.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry.
No. It's good stuff.
Okay. Hi, my name is Elizabeth Darpa. I actually work with Joe on something else called the Free Period Project, and we're aiming to provide free menstrual products to everyone that needs them due to the lack of accessibility and affordability of them. So we will primarily right now aiming to target high school bathrooms so that all high school age girls are able to have period products while they're at school, and then eventually we'll shift to just trying to provide all women in need with them. And for every number of boxes that we're able to provide for free, we're also donating to women's shelters so that everybody can have the opportunity to attend school or go to work and not have to be stuck at home due to their menstrual cycle.
That reminds me, thank you. We have the dean from Xavier's Business School here, and you had a contest, because I was thinking maybe you would get the corporate sponsors should be backing that if they're not already. But you had, can you maybe come tell You mind coming up and telling your the story? Well, the one with the Ronald McDonald House.
I'm on the next panel, so there may be some crossover here. Tom Hayes, I'm Dean of the Xavier University's Williams College of Business. And so at our school, we focus on experiential learning, and we'll get more into that. But one of the things that I think is fabulous is that we try to also look at social impact. And so no matter what class we have, last year, 85% of our classes, both undergraduate and graduate, had experiential programming in them. And so all of our principals of marketing, which is our largest major, they all work on some project, even though they're freshmen and sophomores. One of the coolest things that we've seen recently is that the fall semester, they were working with Tide Cleaners to think about how can we impact the brand of Tide. And the winning team, again, a freshman and a sophomore, and another sophomore, came up with the idea of putting Tide Cleaners in Ronald McDonald houses. You know, and they had done the research to say, okay, the average person in here is 12 to 17 days. You know, parents are stressed, they need their clothes cleaned, et cetera. And so not only is it a great social thing for P&G to get involved with, but also it has a, you know, strong association for the brand. And so it's just great, and P&G is going to use it. So it's just great to see, you know, students that are, I mean, it's amazing the creativity that you have, and you have a bunch up here, the creativity that comes out of students when they give them the opportunity. And again, focusing on that type of thing of social impact is also very cool. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. And so who are the leading providers of Minstrel products? Who should we be partnering with?
Yeah, particularly Procter & Gamble.
Well, there you go.
But we're not planning on using them.
Okay, don't have to.
So,
Who's number two and three and four?
The most popular brands are like Tampax, Playtex, or Playtex by Tampax, Kotex.
Do you have connectivity to them?
Yeah, no.
Does anyone here have connectivity to those brands?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's actually a different business model.
Yeah, so the business model, it's more of like a marketing thing. So when we distribute them to the general public, that's going to happen through businesses advertising on the boxes. So that allows like the cost of the advertisements pay for the products, and we can hand them out. So it's not so much just giving them away. They're like for the high school bathrooms.
Do both. Have both, right?
Yeah, yeah. For the high school bathrooms, we're going to target universities to advertise on them, so they can get high school students into their colleges. So the goal kind of is to like eliminate the other tampon companies, because we want to make them free, but people get mad when we say that. So
well, let's make them provide them for free for at least for now. That's the thing. Corporate enlightenment has to happen. Yeah. We were talking about they're buying other companies. That some of those are mission driven to help change their culture. You need more Peg Wyants to change Procter & Gamble today. Yes.
I worked in Uganda with work. Oh, I'm Sarah Truebridge. You'll see me later. But I worked in Uganda with organizations that the girls there can't go to school mm-hmm. when they have their menstrual cycle. So they worked on making.
Yeah.
You know, their pads. Do you do any work with developing countries, or do you want to?
Yeah, so we actually have, in part of donating tampons to women's shelters here, we also, I think to make a reusable menstrual pad, it's like $1 in Uganda. So for every like X amount of whatever, I think it's every dispenser in a high school will make like 20 reusable pads for girls in Uganda so that they're able to go to school. Okay, cool. I don't know.
Anyone else with an impact?
I'll just jump with something really quick. So two investments ago, we invested in this company called Aunt Flo, which is also helping to solve the period problem. But my goal this weekend is to get a hold of Claire, who's their CEO, and see if there is a way where you could get into the same supply chain and you could get that product, use it for free, and then be able to potentially have them with their corporate partnerships be able to use your marketing model, because I just think it's brilliant and high schools need it to be free and accessible more than anywhere, at least here in the States.
Awesome. Anyone else on impact investing? Yeah, yeah. Yep. Let everybody know who are you?
Yep. I might be able to talk over some of the folks behind me. My name is Bill Tucker. I'm executive director of Flywheel Social Enterprise Hub for the next 4 weeks. I'm retiring at the end of June. And over these last few years, last 8 years, I've worked really hard around one central issue, and that is access to capital in the impact space. What I've experienced is in the traditional angel investing space, that model of venture capital where you invest in 10 different companies and you have one that becomes that unicorn and you get a return of capital, doesn't really work in the impact space. And some of it is just perception. That is that you're in the impact space, you're not here to make money, you're here to do good, you really need to be a nonprofit and kind of get out of this business. And yet, we have found some structures working with my friends like Scott Jacobs at Queen City Angels and Sue Baggett and others, that there are capital structures that will allow access to capital where it doesn't require you sell that company. So I just love to hear from each one of you about how it easy or hard it is to get capital and what compromises you may have had to make in your impact mission to be able to get access to that capital.
Thank you, Bill. Go.
I'm currently at the beginning of my journey, so I've been talking to Federal Home Loan Bank, who has some programs. One is the Affordable Housing Program, and it's a grant that I might qualify for this grant. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if my project is too small. It's a competitive grant, but my goal is to scale my impact business and obtain 5 or 10 houses. The first house is called Annie's House. I'm not sure if I'll name the rest of the houses Annie's House, but Annie Shanks was my grandmother who lived to be 103 years old, and she was the pillar of the South Cumminsville community. So whether this grows into a 10-house thing or we just have the one house, I believe that I'm going to make an impact on the community.
I think from the reusable water bottle market perspective, it's looked at as a tax when we donate money for every 1,000 bottles to drill a well, which is okay. I mean, technically, we're self-imposing a tax on ourselves to create impact. But also, Yeti's over $1 billion company just selling drinkware. I mean, God forbid we end up somewhere a little bit less than that, but we're able to give millions of people access to clean water. At the end of the day, I feel like your return might not be 20x, it might be 12x, but you help a lot of people and you just.
But there's a next gen thing happening. This is a shift. They might not get anywhere if they don't have a mission. I think consumers are voting.
I'll be honest. Elizabeth and I got to go to an eFest competition, which was held by Dick Schultz, the founder of Best Buy, multi-billionaire, great man. There's 25 of the best startups in the country there for students. I would argue that over half of them had a social impact, and I think it's going to be a necessity moving forward, least in the market.
That's right.
I don't want to answer this one.
Thanks, Zach, for observing the rule.
So to build on your point, I really do think that in a traditional way, this could be considered a marketing decision. And if you can use some of your budget to do good for the world, then why not do it? If you're going to be spending that money on ads and you're going to be pushing it through a lot of different ways, I think it will be greater amplified through free media, through community, through engagement. And I would really look at it through that lens. Very briefly to jump on the question, we completely agree that venture funding should not be used for everybody, but we also believe that it needs to become equally accessible to anybody. And we also believe that we, with these very early, we're seed stage, pre-seed funds, it's filling a need in the market, especially here in Ohio, where we have amazing grant programs, we have accelerators, we have competitions, we have crowdfunding, and then it sort of hits a bit of a wall. And up until you get to the point where you're going for more traditional venture money with that plan for how you're going to have your 100x exit and you've got all of that, it leaves a pretty wide gap. And those gaps are the founders that we want to work with. because we want them to grow and we want their missions and their impact to grow every step of the way so that they can find those future partners. And for many, it's a lifestyle business. Many of the best social enterprises on Earth should remain companies which are sustainable and they take care of their community and they take care of each other and they don't need these huge upsized returns. And so they should not be looking at venture funding, even from smaller funds like us. But I believe that as this next generation, as y'all are building what you're building, it is going to be a necessity that there is a social component because people are voting with their dollars.
That's right. Well, look, we're going to, a lot of these areas morph into philanthropy. So first, we're going to move to the philanthropy side. So let's thank our panelists, some that you didn't expect to be up there.
Thank you for joining us.
Come join our 361 firm community of investors and thought leaders. We have a lot of events created by the community as we collaborate on investments and philanthropic interests. Join us.